All right, so here we are on the 20. Sorry. I'm still on the highway. 22nd? Yeah, 25th. 25th of August, 2015. This is Tools for the Times, and we are in between as kind of a review or a mid-course reflection. And we're getting ready to start next week, block three. And all of the sessions, seven sessions there, and then follow up with block four and those seven sessions. My name is Mark Stanton Welch, and I invite each of you to go ahead and speak your name and call that frequency forward. And I am going to use my solfeggio tones here to set a frequency for the evening. Beautiful. I'm going to start out very much like I did last time. Actually, before I do that, I just wanted to bring your awareness. I sent you links this time. I don't know if you all got them. I sent around 6 o'clock, and they were the actual links to the pages we'll be working with tonight because there was specific information on them in terms of exercises that we could refer to. Not essential, but they're there. I've also included a new element on each page. Of all the pages we've gone through so far, it says access previous sessions. And for the most part, it's up in the top right, or it's just below the title because of the picture there that was interfering with being able to put it in the top right. I didn't rearrange each page. But it allows you, when you click it, to have an entire list of all 28 of these sessions. And obviously, those that we have already gone through are all active links that will take you right back to that page. So that's one thing that was missing in what I had put out before. It was very selective. We weren't able to actually get back to it unless you had the link. So now all you have to do is be able to access one of the pages, and then you can have access to all of those that we've done so far. Obviously, the next two blocks, there's no links to that because we haven't done the session yet. So I'm excited about that, and it's like, silly, why didn't I have that before? But I guess that's what awareness does. It allows us to fine-tune some elements to give us that which we're ready to actually deal with. So you do know that, let me see here very quickly. Nope, I'm going to go where I intended to go, and I'm referring now, and not that you have to do, because sometimes it gets in the way when you have something to read. But if that works for you, go right ahead. I'm going to start off again with the chant that I introduced last week, the chant Calling, which was written in 2006. Actually, as a result of some of the work that I was doing with Sonia Choquette at the time and some of the trainings we're doing in Chicago. And it was about calling in spirits and calling in those elements of us to be present. As we looked at the Akash and the DNA, we began to see that the connections we have through our own history in all of its forms is a very potent and current process that we can call into. And if you're getting anything out of this course, hopefully it's some things like realizing that, one, you're not alone, and two, that the capacities and capabilities and resources that you have are far, far, far beyond what you've been led to believe, for the most part. And accessing any of these things and beginning to experience the world in that kind of a way has the potential to change everything. Not only your experience of this dimension, but also your response to it, and also how it serves you and how it impacts you. I mean, all of these elements before, and I guess the easiest way to put it is that for most of these incarnations, we've kind of felt just sort of as we were victims of the whole process, that life happened to us, that we didn't have a whole lot of control over what occurred. Even if we put our focus in a certain place, it seems like things would just happen to us. And we were really never given the skills to be able to handle the flow of things and to interpret things from a higher place, to interpret things from a clearer place, we'd always just sort of, I don't mean to be using a word like always, but oftentimes we would begin to perceive ourselves as just being unwitting victims, and hopefully we'll learn something, but, you know, many times we don't. And so you see it in each incarnation where people reach a certain age, and especially with the elderly. And in the Western cultures, you know, and I'm looking at myself as basically elderly, because that's, you know, the age that anything over 50 in the old times was considered elderly. And they were not necessarily honored as a whole and supported as a whole, especially by Western culture. Now, I'm not saying all of the elements of Western culture, but we're just not blessed and honored for our capabilities when the design is such that some of the best awareness, some of the best work that we can do comes in those years when we've cleared out some of the debris, when we reach these years beyond 56, beyond, you know, the 50, 49, when we start getting these cycles of 7 to 56 and then finally to 63, which is the year that I've got a birthday next week where I will be turning 63. And that's pretty darn exciting, because in the old framework of growing up, the adults that I was around oftentimes would perceive that as just basically one foot in the grave. And by no means is that the case anymore. What I am finding is the vitality, the awareness, the connections, the exhilaration, the wonder that is a part of life in these times is just so much more profound. It's akin in some ways to myself as a child before some of the crap started to happen, before I forgot, before the veil dropped over, if you will. And I get the feeling like Tools for the Times is really a process of very profoundly reawakening each of us, including myself, and giving us some awarenesses that are contained within us but are being triggered to do their work upon us and to release that very specific information within us that is going to serve us each in a very profound way. And I believe it already has. And I know that the more we align with it, the more it has to reveal. So I'm just delighted to have been facilitating this course so far, and very excited about the next elements of what's to come. And even though in the handout that I sent you, not a handout, but the email that I sent you in terms of the invitation for tonight's program, it listed the rest of the titles, and the session titles, please do not get invested in those, because something may change along the way. In many ways, it's very different from the original intention of what I had when the course was put down on paper to begin with. So to realize, one, that we're not alone, that we are so much more than we have allowed and even thought we were, to realize that there are very, very powerful processes like intention that we can call upon to make things happen, to bring elements to serve our vibration, that when we start to look at life as really serving our own personal vibration and how we can tend that and impact what shows up around us. It's amazing just how much skill, how much talent, how much capacity, how much we are able to impact and influence the kind of life that we are having. And the idea of victimhood is still rampant in the culture, and many believe that life just happens to you. I believe that we don't believe that anymore. I believe as a result of the information coming in, it has triggered that awareness that is called from you, a knowing that you are oh so much more. And if anything, regardless of all the information and the specifics, if that is what you got out of our time together thus far, then that is worth everything. It is worth billions and billions in relation to, you know, if you look at it in terms of its value. And what remains now, sure, there's more information coming, but really it's about putting it into action. And putting it into action is an inward process to begin with, And then it's about the outward process. And the joy of it is that we begin to see how the inner impacts the outer and how we can call forms of life into us so that they show up and reinforce the new awarenesses that we're carrying these days. We're no longer just sort of floating wildly, mindlessly. I don't know. It's kind of mindless. When you live in the moment, it comes down to, you know, in a sense, being mindless and paying attention to the information and then responding to it. It's not being reactionary. It's not being overwhelmed and lorded over by our own personal past, by the energies that we have not released, by belief systems we bought into, by woundings that just don't seem to go away, to hesitation, to clogged chakras, to an unwillingness to access our true talents and skills and the things that are actually available to us by design. You know, those were all learned behaviors. And here we stand in a time in 8/25, 2015, that's 5, 6, 7, 8, 14, 15, and 8 and 5 is 23, so we're at a 5, so that's an interesting place. We're kind of in the middle of this process. How perfect we are in the middle of the process of re-understanding who we are and re-finding ourselves through, in a sense, new eyes and new ears and new senses that have been expanded. So the idea of calling forth energies to support us, maybe 2 months ago or 3 months ago when we started, would have been something that you were hesitating to do. But now we realize that we are not alone and we have so much available to us that is required to be called for when we need them. And we affirm in this process that we are ready, willing, and able to participate fully in what is here. At the bottom of the page, if you actually have it open, this is the session 7. Next to the picture at the bottom, there it says lyrics to the chant calling. I click that and I have those lyrics in front of me. You can just listen. I'll be speaking to yourselves or you can join in. Calling in the spirits of the earth. Give me strength, give me energy. Calling in the spirit of the ancestors. Give me knowledge and clear my way. Calling in the angel guardians. Watch my back and keep me safe. Calling in the master teachers. Bring me wisdom and show the way. I am ready. I am ready. I am ready. Three more. Calling in the spirits of the earth. Give me strength, give me energy. Calling in the spirit of the ancestors. Give me knowledge and clear my way. Calling in the angel guardians. Watch my back and keep me safe. Calling in the master teachers. Bring me wisdom, show the way. I am ready. I am ready. I am ready. Calling in the spirits of the earth. Give me strength, give me energy. Calling in the spirit of the ancestors. Give me knowledge, clear my way. Calling in the angel guardians.
watch my back and keep me safe, calling in the master teachers, bring me wisdom and show the way. I am ready, I am ready, I am ready. Last time. Calling in the spirits of the earth, and give me strength, give me energy. Calling in the spirit of the ancestors, give me knowledge and clear my way. Calling in the angel guardians, watch my back and keep me safe. Calling in the master teachers, bring me wisdom, show the way. I am ready, I am ready, I am ready, I am ready. Calling in the spirits of the earth. So it is.
It's a potent thing to realize that the resources that are available to us. And awareness is certainly the first step. And in these situations, it's the actual willingness to call in and the actual willingness to bring forth these particular energies that are available to us. It seems like we're cast adrift out here in this blue planet in space, but nothing could be further from the truth. There were some beautiful parts of these sessions, these last two sessions, about the larger essence of who we are and how we are made up, that not only expands who we are and how we experience who we are, but actually brings us into the multidimensional soup. With the DNA expressing as it is with the 12 strands, what a potent and beautiful design that really it becomes the element that strings us and ties us to the variety of dimensions that coexist in this moment in time, thus allowing us to have an unlimited supply, to have an unlimited capacity to be aware and to take action in the name of the higher frequency and in the name of the light. And it allows us to have access to all that has come and all that shall be. And in our current form, it's hard to fathom some of these new concepts. But in the idea of remembering that it's the sphere, it's a circle now, as opposed to a linearity. And when we step out of linearity, we realize that everything is available in the moment. And we just intend, we reach out, we access, we take action upon it. It's a process that serves over and over and over, and it is what has been here, and it has been part of Mystery Cool Teachings, that's cool, that have been available to us for as long as we can remember. And there's no doubt, in the days before telephones, each of us in our own way have probably served many, many lifetimes in various mystery schools, holding frequencies, reminding ourselves of who we are and from whence we have come. And so it's no secret that we gather in this new technology and sit around with computers and talk over the phone and remember who we are. And it's important to underscore how important it is, although even if you did nothing with all the information you're getting, how important it can be and how useful to actually put things into action and test them out and see what they do. See what they do to impact your life, if at all. And in some ways, that's what tonight is about. Surely I'm going to bring some information in to bring closure to both sessions 6 and 7 with some activity. But a lot of it's about you reflecting on the journey thus far. and having a collective opportunity here for us to just see how perhaps one another has been served by what we've done so far. That would be interesting. And if there's none of that, that's okay. And if there are questions about something that has come up in the course, something that specifically has come up in your life as a result of the work we've done, let's put it out there. This could be a beautiful bridge building between all of us because many of us do not know one another. And we are in a situation here where we are on a collective intention and following through on it, and thus spreading a frequency far and wide. And we have yet to have an opportunity to interact with one another. So tonight's the night. So we'll do that. I'm going to get started. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you each to speak your true name, your first, your middle, your last, because we established last about the DNA and that access to these parts of ourselves, that when we do speak the name, we go ahead and access these elements of ourselves that are there by design. And so we want to make sure that we call to the forefront all of the pieces of us. So on three, let's speak our name. One, two, three. Mark Stanton Welch. And so it is. Sure, it'd be nice to do it seven times, but there's a lot to do tonight. And the more you do it, even one time, the more it begins to serve you. I'm going to read at the back of the book, The Human Akash, which is a combination of the author as well as Kryon giving some information here, and I thought it was a good way to start tonight. The author says, in this situation, first of all, I hope your heart has been opened and that you remember your magnificence. There's a circle of life that is a part of a beautiful and elegant system. Every divine human being that walks the planet is loved beyond measure. You are far grander than you can ever realize. The multidimensional pieces and parts of you are known throughout the universe. Your epiphanies, your self-realizations will forever change the planet. Deep within your Akash is an infinite pool of wisdom and experience. The invitation is there for you to go and claim it. As you practice mastery, you may find yourself at peace, regardless of circumstances around you. As you drop your karma, pay attention to any synchronicities that come your way. As you mine your Akash, don't be surprised at the new thoughts and talents that emerge. Be prepared to release any old fears and phobias that no longer serve you. These can be challenging to release as they are like an old friend that has been with you forever, and there is a sense of loss even when you willingly wish to let them go. Be gentle, be kind, and patient with yourself. I think that's pretty darn exciting. And whether your conscious mind buys into it or not, I believe there's a place in you that is resonating very strongly with that, like a tuning fork that's just going, yes, yes, that is exactly what's going on now. And I am all in. I am all in. From Kryon, he says this, in bringing, again, the Human Akash book to a conclusion and all of those sessions that he did that related to it, he says, so here you are with this information. Interesting, isn't it? There are three places where your human energy exists at the same time. One, the cave of creation. It keeps a record of who you are as you come and go and imbues your lifetime of experience to the vibration of the planet even after you've gone. It is the multidimensional system that captures the human experience for Gaia, and it stays with Gaia. Two, the DNA in the human body helps you while you are alive in each lifetime, for all that you ever were is information and energy that is stored in the double helix. All 1,000 lifetimes are there, if you've lived 1,000 of them. They are all accessible. You never have to relearn anything spiritually, since it's cumulative. That is, it stays with you from lifetime to lifetime. All you have to do is open the spiritual jar of intent to remember, and out will come the wisdom of the ancients. This ought to tell you something. All of you are your own ancestors. Did you think of that? And the third is the crystalline grid, a spiritual grid that lays over the planet's surface that remembers everything that humans do and where they do it. This grid is also being reactivated as you approach 2012. for it is becoming more quantum in that what you do in real time is being transferred to Gaia through the grid in real time. This means that the energy of humanity is affecting the vibrational level of the planet in actual time instead of waiting to receive the energy after you pass to the cave of creation. This also creates a feeling of time going faster for you. Lastly, there is a backup system for all of it, a redundancy that isn't the kind of backup that you think of. For your backup is something that is linear in case you lose the first one. This backup system is one that assists the others all the time. The information of these three combined Akashic systems is stored in a living mammal on this planet. It has to be this way, for it is the final layer, and it connects you not only with Gaia, but it connects you with the rest of the life on Earth in a most profound way. The system is stored in the whales and dolphins of Earth. They hold the records. It is the cycle. The whales are in Gaia. They're under the water. They are mammals like you. They contain the information. The Akashic cycle is complete. The very water of the Earth also glows with everything you've done, who you are, and who you might be. Gaia exists for the sacred human beings who are on this planet in lesson. I give you this in love today. I want you to think about something. Everywhere you walk, you're known by the earth. What a system. Why do I give this to you today? It's so you continue to feel loved and cared for. It's so you know there's hand-holding going on between spirit and you and Gaia, if you want it. There are so many things here for you if you want them, old soul. You sit here for a purpose. Maybe you need to hear this today. Important you are, precious you are, and a master you are. Now go claim it. Live a long time. Be joyful in the process. Don't make up your mind at what's supposed to happen. The worst thing you can do is predispose what God has for you based upon what you think is happening now. Instead, relax, be joyful in all things, and fall in love with yourself. Leave this place differently than you came. I realize I closed the session, or did it during last week's session as well. Well, it's that important that it deserves a reminder. Can you let that awareness in? Can you allow yourself to be something that is so incredible and so magnificent? Or do you still cling to those elements of doubt within yourself? I'll admit it's a tough one, because the moments of living throw shadows on our own awarenesses. They get in the way of this glorious magnificence that I feel in these moments when I read this information or when I remember these elements of who I am. But at some point, you and I, it is required that we start living as if. We start living as if we are that which is being shared with us. And all I say is, why not? Why not? What if everything that came our way, that shows up for us in the moment, is there to reaffirm the magnificence of who we are, and that we have whatever it takes to be able to deal very consciously and very powerfully and very transformationally with whatever shows up? And what if indeed that the DNA itself is the vehicle that gives us and brings us this information that is stored in this precious system called the Akash, that transcends time and space and gives us that which we have always been and all that we will become? It really makes the moment pretty damn magnificent. It expands into a dimension that I have no concept of yet and no experience of to any degree. But if it's all happening in the now, where all the past, the future, come together to give me that which I have available in this moment, wow, why not? Why not experience in its fullness? Pretty exciting. Pretty exciting. In the section on the Akash, session 7, there was a little section down on the left by a kahuna. Kale'i Iliahi. There it is. Got to say all those vowels in Hawaiian. Who was talking to us about who we are, and I thought it was a very important element to say. He said, you are surrounded by a light that is brighter than you can fathom, and it protects you now and all of your life. It is a light you carry inside of you, and we put it there. Take our love and light and fear not. Accept the honor bestowed upon you in these times and celebrate what you have done and are about to do. All living things on earth know you by name. All living things know you by name, including the rocks. There is a light inside you that took thousands of years to create, and we did it together, for we are one. Today is a holy day, anointed and remembered and recorded in the stars. It is a day when the humans opened themselves to ancestral communication and allowed us to pour our love and honor into your hearts and minds and souls. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Isn't that a beautiful awareness of how the past, which we have so often deemed as the place where the great pain occurred, when really it is feeding us and feeding our soul and giving us all that is necessary to be fully present in the moment that's here. So it takes away the element of fear for any kind of future. It takes away the uncertainty, and it turns it into sport, and it turns it into adventure. Why not? Why not? See, at the age most of us are, we've gone through enough to know that most of it doesn't matter. So often it's just that we get triggered, stuff that we haven't released and let go of, and old energies we carry, often from ourselves as children, that gets triggered and it feels like everything is falling apart. When one solid breath, one deep breath is enough to allow the release and allow the moving on, and then we return to the place of greater clarity. I'm talking to your cells. I'm talking to your DNA. You know, our conscious mind is going to do what it does until it doesn't do it anymore. We learn by repetition. We learn by doing things by choice. We take the results and then we apply them and make adjustments and then do it again to see what happens. This is an old process that we've learned through lifetime after lifetime. It's a quickening process now where there isn't so much hesitation. There aren't so many opportunities. Well, there aren't so many results that are contrary to who we are. Things are falling more into alignment. And again, it's as if, will you allow that? Will you allow the forms of things to change in a way that serves you in ways that you have yet to experience? Why not? Why not? I'm going to scoot back to... The DNA revelation. And do a reminder of a statement. I don't know if I said this or not. It was a Cryon quote. He said, DNA is the antenna of the body, listening for the profundities of your epiphanies, the breakthroughs in the tight fabric of fear and frustration. I did say it, but it bears repeating. It measures the heights of your joy, the peaks of your passion, and sees the smile on your face as you finally understand that the pathway to God, to Source, has always been open and available to you. It responds by orchestrating cellular structure to enhance who you are and to complement your life on Earth. It uses each layer of its own magnificence in the perfect ways that will create the soup of healing, a confluence of love creation and an honoring of the human being's intent. Finally, human beings are beginning to understand the mastery within. And then Cryon also said, I don't know if I gave this to you, I may have. He said, let me take you to the interior of DNA itself and reveal to you the esoterics and the love that this process has within it. For more than chemistry, this DNA event defines the core of sacred life, the love of God within the universe, mixed with dimensional confluences and the joy of creation. DNA is the crossroads of God and man, human. the mixture of quantum and non-quantum, and it vibrates with the essence of the truth of the universe. If you could sit within the double helix and observe all the vibrations as I can, you would be in awe. For within that 3D structure surges the history of the universe, of humankind, of the seed race and their love for you, and your relationships to the ages and to the earth. The multidimensional light show is grander than any that any human can conceive. For this is the kind of light that is not seen, but felt. It sings a sonata of melding energies that soothes the soul, and the strains are similar to those you hear when you are on my side of the veil. For DNA contains the creator energy, your energy, the human transformation energy, and that of all your lifetimes. And he goes on and says, for DNA is a mastery substance of creation on the planet. It indeed carries the image of the Creator and reflects it in every way. It is elegant in the way it delivers itself to the human body, and yet it has a high consciousness that hides, ready to be understood by any human who wishes to examine what makes consciousness happen at all. It carries with it all the history of creation, including the galaxy you sit in. It is the glue that is ready to be placed into the crevices of the breaking human heart. It is the peace that passes all understanding. It is DNA that is responsible for consciousness, not the human body. Brain or the gene set, for the brain is simply an organ in the head with synapses, and the genes are chemical engines. But DNA creates the informational instruction signals that keep the body going and the intuition that says, yes, there is a God. Each strand is identical, each one belonging to one individual soul who is visiting the earth yet again for a seeming moment of time. DNA represents the energy of multidimensional information. It is not the chemistry that creates consciousness, but rather it is information and always has been. And finally, there is a mastery that is inside the DNA. And these masters who walked the earth each came to show you what is possible. Each of them carried informational messages of love, unity, and peace. Some of them showed their power over matter, over life, over the elements of the planet. These historical reports are not exaggerations, for this is indeed what took place. For when the DNA is working at 100%, you have the empowerment of the Creator fully manifest within the human being. The efficiency factor is not chemical, but informational. It is about multidimensional energy, not chemistry. And what I'm doing here is just planting more seeds. And that really is what we're doing. I want to revisit an element about leaving the comfort zone. I don't need to go through all of that again, but underscore how in some ways our decision to create a comfort zone is a gross manipulation of our present moment, usually fear-based and usually based on hesitation and doubt. Not always, but most often a comfort zone is a walled city with maybe a lot more windows than just a protective thing that was actually there by design. The comfort zone is the place where our wounds have been tucked away and they don't bite us when we come up to something that's close to them. We've tucked things away enough in the nooks and crannies of this comfort zone that we are able to actually experience some of the semblances of being content, perhaps even peaceful, perhaps without worry. And yet in the bowels of the comfort zone, and I use bowels specifically, is contained that which must move. And until those things move, we do not have access to our whole selves. As long as there is a cesspool, if you will, of debris, based upon the experiences that we've held on to and tucked into the nooks and crannies of our comfort zone, we will be less than what we are. So the invitation here through the working of all of this stuff so far is to step out away from that which is familiar. Because it's out of the familiar place that we're going to find the truth of who we are. The exercises and the suggestions that I have for both of these sessions are really very personal. It's not like a very specific activity. It invites you to reflect. It invites you to look at elements of how your life is showing up and what it is that is being revealed to you as that which you desire. So in the first thing under DNA, the suggested awareness activity, or the activity was to really get into the information here. The stuff's, there's a lot in these sessions. Go back and read through the stuff. Get a sense of it. Let it speak to yourselves. Let yourselves reveal their response to it. But get into the information because it is so transformational. It completely changes the shape of experience. It says, let it sink into yourselves and feed them with your knowing connection. Start to communicate with yourselves, with your DNA and your bodies. Dialogue about what is going on, what is desired, what is intended. Monitor your efforts and look for the subtle responses that may quickly become obvious and filled with a new way of living. And then test the ideas out. The communication process we're being invited to do here is definitely an inner process, but the results will show up very quickly in the outer. They'll show up by the ease with which we move through our moments. They'll show up by perhaps challenges that might show up. They'll show up by the way the environment is to you, how you're able to navigate and move through things. This all indicates that you are getting in touch with that which you are. Things start to smooth out. And it's the moments of living that provide the inspiration for the next moment of living. And it's just an exciting, gratifying, adventurous experience. Dialogue with yourselves. I know it sounds funny, but why not? You know, people that talk to themselves, we already got a bad rap on that, so if you're talking to guides, you're talking to self, why not talk to yourselves? See what happens. The capacity for us to nurture ourselves through our words and our intention is mighty, and it's underutilized, mostly. We in a sense, have been victims of a perception that we have this isolated body, that this thing, for whatever reason, is here. I don't know how it got here. Sure, there's some biology going on here. But really, what is this? And so we've been taught over and over to believe in limits, to believe in limitations, to be willing to compromise, to be willing to ignore the obvious. Well, it's just simply not okay anymore to do that. It's simply not okay for us to turn our back on ourselves over and over, claiming comfort or claiming the routine or claiming the path of least resistance or claiming I just don't wanna or I'm scared or any of those things. Those are just elements that are so less than what you and I are. So why use them? Why use them? To communicate with my cells, to start to feed them the information and messages, opens up the door to communication, two-way communication. And when that starts to happen, we begin to step into the magnificence of the design. I invite you to start doing that. I invite you to dialogue with your body, with yourselves, with your intention, with your guides. And we also established last week that our guides basically are elements of ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that the angelic kingdom is all part of us. That's not the case. Our specific guides, those elements of us, are part of us that has been separated so that we would have some sense of connection beyond ourselves until we got it. Well, we got it. Monitor your efforts and look for the subtle responses that may quickly become obvious and filled with a new way of living. Test these ideas out. Test them out. Everyone on this planet is in the same boat. We are all looking for clarity. I don't care what the form is of a lifetime. I don't care what the forms are and what they appear to be and how horrible they might be or how incredible and beautiful they might be or how manipulative or how greedy or how loving or how compassionate. We are all in a place of remembering who we are. When we begin to support one another with this massive blanket awareness, things start to show up differently. Because again, with the Akash and with the DNA, we see the connection between the earth, Gaia, the living earth, and our own being, and our own essence. We will begin the new block with the exploration of Gaia and the relationship that we have and what's called the Gaia effect. It is so powerful and potent. It removes the sense of isolation from us. And that's what all of this is designed to do. The information is the trigger that takes away the fear, if you allow it. And this is why you're being asked to communicate with yourself, with the elements of you. It says, explore the ideas of your life lesson. And I gave a list of those things. And I think they were under the grounding layers. Yeah, there was learn to love, learn to listen, learn to receive, learn to love yourself, learn to speak your truth, learn how to not be a victim, learn how to not let anyone define you, learn how to feel your own mastery, learn how to live with other humans, learn how to get out of blaming others, learn how to move out of duality and drop your karma, learn to take care of yourself more than others, and learn that you deserve to be here and are not dirty when you were born. Where are you with each of those life lessons? Some of those, many of those, they speak loudly to the journey that I've been on, and some of them are still present to some lesser degree, but they're still there. And I find myself when I give up, in my moments of giving up, that there they are. There they are, the old programs that reminded me that I was less than always. But all it takes is a breath to my center, to reconnect with my power, to push those away again, and to disintegrate them. Refer to the list given and see which apply. Which have you already addressed? Which are still bringing challenge and compromise? Set intentions and put plans into action to consciously address one or more of them. See what happens. Notice how you feel. Watch your dreams. The inner response to your efforts can be amazing, but you must pay attention. This can just easily become your sport. It's the thing that draws your attention, where everything is aligned around you that is contributing to your awareness and understanding and application of this life lesson, and the moving through of it so you get it, reaching the point where you actually can look in the mirror and say, I love you, and I find no fault with you whatsoever. There's nothing wrong with you. This is really only a breath away. This stuff is very close. And the support we're getting in these moments in time and through information like this is very, very deep and profound and very simple in many ways. And all it takes is you and I putting it into motion. And putting it into motion can be something like just taking a moment to reflect upon it. It could be writing down an element. It could be listening to a song that reminds you of who you are. It could be doing something, spending time in nature and seeing the world through these new eyes and looking for the connections and not seeing anything as random, but connecting and finding what that does to you and how it feels to have that kind of a connection. Set intentions, he says, and put plans into action to consciously address them. And then see what happens. Notice how you feel. Your feelings become your allies. Your feeling becomes the vehicle that allows you to deepen and enrich your experience of living in this dimension, in the earthly plane, but they're also the vehicles that allow you to see how clear you are, Do you get caught up in your feelings? Do you get hooked on them? Does it trigger a whole bunch of stuff? Do you feel like you're just completely out of control, lambasted by an idea or a feeling of fear or something like that? It seems completely out of proportion to that which you're experiencing. Well, we understand that now. We understand that when things are out of proportion, typically it's because there's a bunch of stuff moving. And it's a finite process. It goes for a certain amount of time. We witness it. We support it. We love ourselves. We're compassionate and empathetic with ourselves. And we watch it move. And then we are lighter. And in the process of letting it go, we feed it with more. We put more information in there that is of a higher frequency and fill the space it was just let go of. And we consciously recreate this beautiful mansion of our being, the home that we live in, and make it exactly what we desire. In the DNA awareness, the other activity was to think about your Lemurian lifetimes. You may not want to. You may not believe it. I was just up in Washington, drove back along the corridor of I-5, and there was that magnificent mountain, Mount Shasta. Just there. I cannot go by there or come into the neighborhood without being Lemurian. And what that means is to be reflecting upon those lifetimes. I don't know, make it up. Because you know when you make it up, basically it's based upon the truth of your inner being anyway. Think about the Lemurian lifetimes. Open up to that. Ask for information and guidance. See where it leads you. Explore the idea of mining the Akash, which we'll look at in a moment. How is it knowing that you can be so much more than you have allowed for centuries, for thousands of years? How is that? To see all of this is opening up, and we're at the point right now where we all have enough information and awareness, and we've cleared enough stuff out that we are at a point where we can actually begin to step into and put on for size, just to see what it's like, these higher concepts. But are they really higher concepts? They're just more obvious to the you that is now. Put them on and see what happens. See how the world, see how life itself, see how nature, see how Earth responds to you from this new frequency. Why not? And the beauty of it is you can continue being exactly what you are in terms of your work, your profession, your relationships, all of those things, and still have this sort of second life where you're checking things out and interacting with them on a deeper level. And all the while raising your vibration and frequency so much that those who are around you begin to be impacted by that frequency. And the gift of you and I doing our work and just playing into this new land of adventure is that it seeds people around us with this awareness that they don't have to go through the steps that we did. We become a vehicle that creates new vibration by the very act of walking into the room and interacting with someone. And that's not to say that we use it and lord over people with it, because that's a sure way to make it not work and fumble and stumble. But just be you. And that is the vibration that's enough to help others who come into your space remember who they are as well. Not everyone needs this information in these times. Not everyone is capable of handling it to the point that they can even open up to the idea and not call it bullshit. They're not ready. And those are the ones that benefit from your openness and the work that you are able to do and willing to do upon yourself and your willingness to jump into this and put it on for size. For some reason, I got this image of it's kind of like the child who saw a pile of manure and started just digging into it and throwing it all over the place and was asked what was going on. And I'd used this story before, but he said, what's going on? He says, well, with all this poop, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. So what do we look for? What do we anticipate finding? Are we looking for shit or are we looking for the pony? We have the power to create all of that. And we are, because by choice, being what was referred to in the next session as an old soul, that by conscious working of your vibration, you have created a consistent frequency of incarnation after incarnation that carries a knowing. You know, by design, everything else is, I mean, the rest of the masses are going to catch up to that idea, because so much of the karma is being disintegrated and all of that with the new energies of the times. But you, my friend, as well as me, have been willing to stand in the unknown and the chaos to do these kinds of things to assist the vibration. Way to go. Way to go. And so the reward of that is the knowing that you consciously have assisted in creating a higher vibration planet that benefits everyone, including you. And then you don't have to do another thing with it except be you. That's really all it is. We're being invited to just show up as we are, as our whole self, not our limited selves. So when I start to look at session with Akash, we had some empowerments there that I read right at the end. Go back to those. Use those. What can I do for myself and for the earth, I ask. And I say, I will eat based upon my Akashic inheritance. That is what my cellular structure wants, and it will give me the healthiest and most spiritually appropriate balance for my chemistry. Who cares what the quote-unquote experts say? What speaks to you? What brings you a sense of vitality? What is it that nurtures you and brings you a clarity and a sense of connection, food-wise? It might be the turnips are the one thing that really does it for you. So be it. Just because so-and-so did this and so-and-so got those results doesn't mean that that's what we follow. We were trained along the way to be sheep, to be lemmings. Both of those are great followers. And both of those are willing to give up their own sense of self for the pack. That's not you. That's not me. Well, here I am, God. I have no idea what I'm doing. Isn't that great? It's an attitude of non-attachment, but it's fully connected. It's not attached to outcome or the form, but it's very connected to experiencing whatever is there fully. That's what you're doing. This is what triggers the awareness in the cells. This is where the DNA gets to do its dance. This is where the openings to the multidimensionality show up by you being a full participant in your moments of living, regardless of the form. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter, all these things that I worry about. Why not take this moment and fully live this moment? Stop trying to figure it out and let the good vibration come and sweep me away. Just let it go, let it flow here and now. All right, very quickly, applying your awareness of working with the Akash. It says, pay attention and notice what moves into your life as form, as opportunity, as random, as challenge. In these new frequencies, everything has meaning, as it is an opening to something of higher vibration or an opportunity to raise your frequency by clearing some energetic debris. Trust this and watch how it serves you in increasingly mighty ways. That's a whole different way of experiencing life. Not only are you just digging the way things are by your senses, but then you know that whatever form comes your way, it has information. It has awareness to it. It's an element that will lift you into a higher frequency. What a powerful way to address your moments. Or you could just do it the way you've done. You already know what the results are there. There you are, back in your comfort zone. And there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes that's the best place to be. I come home from a trip, I don't want to do anything except be in my comfort zone. I just want to experience, if you will, the nothing for a while and recharge. Another way to apply the awareness says, if you are indeed unlimited, which we are saying, reflect on what that kind of life would be like. If you indeed were unlimited, were not hampered by the things that we have been taught to be limited by, what would your moments be like? Play with that. And in the process of playing with it, you start calling the form in. So what would life be like in its forms? What kind of experiences? What kind of responses would you have? What intentions would you use to apply to that which is current? What about the adventures? What would life be like? What would the adventures be? How would it flow? What would that flow be like? Can you trust that flow? Are you willing to allow? What about the changes? Are you willing to flow with the changes, or are you going to resist them? Or both? If we realize that the forms of life give us that opportunity for new awareness, and more often than not in these stages of clearing stuff out that has limited how we perceive ourselves, then we're going to go into every moment with a yee-haw, an absolute willingness to jump into the soup. And here's one that's going to require perhaps some willingness. It says, be clear and honest on what does not work for you anymore. I believe, as in me, that you are becoming more aware and confident in knowing that you can change anything, inwardly and outwardly. The times of inner and outer alignment are rapidly approaching, and really are already here. Think, feel, believe, intend, witness, call into being. These are the skills of the times that we can call upon. If something just no longer works for you, bury it. That doesn't mean bury it inside. It means give it a decent funeral and let it go. And if it's people, if it's places, if it's things, if it's work, if it's this, if it's that, then consider mightily about making change in those things. I'm not saying that you need to terminate all the relationships you're in. That's silly. And, on the other hand, maybe you're doing a dance that no longer works for anyone. I don't know. I have to look at all of these things. And in your power, in your clarity, you can make decisions that before were fear-driven, where things were kept in place by fear, knowing full well that the cosmos is showing up for us, and knowing full well about our capacities, we realize that what used to be fear was more of an old energy that had been stored within us. And even the idea of annihilation is not so bad anymore, because we understand the bigger picture. Having said that, wouldn't that be a waste of time if all this effort to reawaken to who you were and you went ahead and left the planet? Only a waste of time, and why not stay here and enjoy it? Why not stay here and be a vehicle for clarity just by being you and enjoying yourself? So and finally, it says, think of the skills, capacities, the forms that you desire, knowing that the Akash is accessible and that you can literally intend fully that which you desire. Get started. Why not? Test this stuff out. Test these ideas out. See what happens. And if it doesn't work, make an adjustment and see what will work. So often, it's just a belief or it's an investment in a certain way that gets in the way. What is it that you really desire for yourself? Why are you even sitting here listening to me? Why are you even taking this course? It's using up precious hours of yours. You know? Get clear on what that is. And use this stuff. I'll tell you that anyone around you, though it may seem like they're not interested, they're going to notice the energy of you. talk about this stuff. Talk about it. Make it known. Make it known. Most people are bored with life. They're tired of the routines. And they're feeling within them on a deep level the shifts that are happening. And they're hungry for new perspectives and new information. Why not drop a little tidbit here and there, a pearl? See what happens. Why not? Trust your guidance. Trust that inner guidance and trust that heart area within you. We could go on and on and on about all of these things and start applying them, but I definitely want to leave some time here where if there's anything that you want to get clarified or anything that you want to say about this experience, the process, whether it's coming from a place of yeah or a place of, well, you know, let's go ahead and take some time and do that. So if you have something you want to share, you know full well it's going to be heard by everyone here. And you don't need to speak your name if you don't want to. I just have the luxury of, for the most part, of knowing most of your voices. And I'm not going to say, oh, hey, so-and-so. That's for you to do. But if you have a question, you have a comment, you have an experience, anything you need clarified from all of these sessions we've had so far, and just to quickly review, we did transitioning from Piscean to Aquarian times. We did conscious flow with the cycles of life. We did the process of self-creation, clearing the energetic past, multidimensional living, creating and maintaining relationship with inner child, flowing with emotion, accessing and applying cosmic law, ascension, breath, voice, and word, I am soul, 12-ray integration, the DNA revelation, and working with the Akash. All of that is fair game. And if I can clarify anything in there or if we can get new perspectives on it, it'd be great. So if you have something, hit *6 and just go ahead. Da 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 da.
Mark?
Yes.
Okay, this may or may not have anything to do with all of the things you have talked about, but
okay.
It's one thing that's a curiosity to me. As you know, there's been a lot of media about Bruce Jenner, and he became Caitlyn Jenner. And
yes.
He said that he always knew that he was a woman. He always felt feminine, and now he's like a transgender, which he's never really a woman. He doesn't have a womb. He doesn't, I mean, physically he's not. How can it be that someone could come into the world and think that they are a different gender? I just don't understand that.
Yeah. Last 2 weeks ago in DNA, part of that was addressed because it was talking about the cycles of life, the repeating incarnations, that we go through periods of time where we're successively male for a period of time, for successive lives, and then we oscillate back over to becoming female for a variety of lives.
Okay.
And the in-between takes about 3 to 4 lifetimes of incarnating in-between where you are increasingly becoming more of the other gender and releasing, you know, what you were. And so there's a period of time where there's a natural transition which leads to this sort of unknowingness, this sort of sense of not knowing who I am or being drawn more to the other gender even though I am physically set up to be this gender. And that was addressed here, and I thought it was very powerful because of the way that you know, transgender, homosexuality, the trouble with all of that has been looked at has been as if it was something wrong with people and as if it was something that was a disease. Well, and according to this model, nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, we've all gone through it.
Well, that's based on the observation that people believe in reincarnation, which to me is it's hard for me to understand this. I mean, it's not hard for me to understand soul migration in a sense,
yeah.
But the gender part is difficult. I don't know. I understand what you're saying about the DNA and all, but I mean, I don't doubt that it exists just from knowing people that have proclivities towards that. You know, not,
yeah.
I don't hang out with people, you know, I hang out with hetero people, but I just, with him, it just seems so unique in the sense that here he was such a masculine entity and a star, and just wait till this point in life to.
Well, here's one thing that occurs is that oftentimes someone who is in the public eye, it's very much like, you know, a worldwide event. When a tsunami happens that impacts hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, it is felt by the entire planet. When you get someone who is in the public eye that makes this kind of a transformation and a shift that is really addressing an issue that is held by many on the planet, it allows for the public energy to begin to shift around it. It creates polarities. It creates polarization. It forces everyone on one level to have to look at what their belief system is. And in the process, nothing new may come out of it, but energetically, people are being required to make a shift because they are having to attend to an element they haven't paid attention to. And
yeah,
so often, you know, homosexuality is a fear-based element
for
those who are reacting to it. And there's such a reservoir of fear in most people.
Fully accepting of a lot more than, say, people, you know, in my generation would have been, I think. Like you say, that they're just new thought. They're just people are reacting in different ways to things that, you know, don't seem normal per se, but I guess it's always existed.
Well, there is no normal.
No.
Normal is an agreement by whoever's in power.
I know, but I'm just saying basically man, basically woman type of situation.
But you know, essentially we are, you know, it's really right at the last moment that, you know, the decision of the sex is divided even in the process of in utero.
Yeah.
Now, we are equipped to be both up until a certain point, and then, whoop, there we go, down that road, and we have
elements.
That's
how he explained it. I don't know. I mean, he just said God made him a woman in his mind, and that's what I didn't quite understand, but I don't know. It's just like you say, it's just
okay.
Something you have to.
Well, the invitation is to look at it from a higher perspective.
I know.
Not the human form. And not,
no,
you know.
I personally have always liked him. I've always admired his ability, his athletic ability, and as a person, he seems like a really good person. I've been watching the programs that he has on television lately just to try to understand better what's going on, but.
Well, in one sense, what's going on with that process is a whole lot of people that are facing very similar places.
Yeah, and
are being
maybe
given
time.
A collective sensitivity to it. And
yeah.
Like I said, and we'll bring this to a close, is there's been polarity, you know, people will polarize. And in the polarization,
yeah.
They're forced to look at their own issues. They're forced to look at their own resistance. And it moves energy, and it moves some of the old elements that have caused people to polarize. So it's a collectively large, powerful, beautiful thing that's occurring, and what it does for many is bring up some resistance.
Uh-huh.
And in the nature of the times, that resistance is going to be cleansed and cleared to some degree. Everyone is going to get some kind of clarity on these issues that are collectively a part of the human experience.
Well, I think you're correct. Thank you so much for answering that.
All right. Any other things that are up related to the material we've done or your own personal experience of it?
Me personally or anyone?
No, anybody. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm opening up to the rest of the group. But if you have another one.
I can't really, well, nothing's really been overpowering for me at this point in time. It's all good. I'm still studying and still trying to comprehend some of it. So thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You bet. Anyone else? Okay. Well, let's take a moment and take stock. And by taking stock, I just want to look from whence we've come. And in a sense, just very briefly look at where we're headed in this particular Tools for the Time process. You know, the decision to be a part of this was something that maybe made sense in the beginning. Maybe it made maybe it was just a feeling. Maybe it was you were intrigued by the idea. You felt you wanted a new perspective on some information. Whatever it was, you chose to be a part of this process. And all along, you had a variety of ways that you could have participated, and you have been participating. You could have just done it one at a time, and some of you have. And each week you make a decision based upon how you feel, what you've learned perhaps, what comes up, and what the next topic's going to be, whether you're going to continue. And then at some point you were reminded you have the opportunity to collectively commit to a block. And some of you did, and then it was like, well, you want to commit to the whole thing, and so some of you did. So all along there have been points of choice with the information. I purposely, in creating these elements, have not put them together until, we'll call it, the last minute. I basically spend some portion of Sunday opening up to the idea and gathering some information, creating the framework on the website about what it's going to be. And I come up with very specific topics that I just whatever comes to me on that, and I put those as potential pages or potential things to look at, topics on that particular session. And then I will take probably all day Monday and a good portion of Tuesday, right up to the point of the call where I have to send you the link, about fleshing that out through not only the guidance that I'm receiving, but also through the resources that I have. And I'm sort of feverishly reading through things and grabbing that which I'm was brought before me, or that I feel inspired by, or it seems to have some information for. So this is a process that has been going on, and I think there's an organic element about it, because it allows each week to have an impact, not only on you, but on me. It's a profound impact on me in so many ways, because I'm really having to look into these elements and see where I am with them, and then articulate something that I believe is going to make sense to you. And so you'll see that as we've gone along, I've changed some of the topics. I've revealed elements of personal frustration, that I didn't have any perspectives on it, that nothing has come yet, and especially with an idea of oneness, which I moved completely to the end. But we followed a certain sequence, and we looked at this not long ago. We looked at, in the beginning, we looked at from whence we've come. We realized the impact of the Aquarian times, the last 2,000 years that we were under, and the influence of how that made us begin to believe set the beliefs about who we thought we were. And then we see how this benevolent universe, this benevolent cosmos, has been supporting us all along, and basically we've transcended into a completely new epoch. A new time, a new astrological phase. And that there were certain elements that are characteristic of this new time that we can see that began for many of us, especially in this particular incarnation, we started feeling them a long time ago. These Aquarian times had some elements that we were feeling sometimes as children. And as our moments of living went through the 60s, through the 70s, all of there, everyone who is on this call, I believe, was impacted in such a way that they had awarenesses that were ahead of their time. And by saying ahead of their time, meaning that it was not adopted by the masses. The beauty of that is that it creates openings. And it creates new information coming in and new ways of doing things. The challenge of that is the very same. It creates openings and new ways of doing things and makes you a stranger in a strange land and leaves you uncertain about being in relationship with the forms of how things are. So, of course, we started there. And in that process, we began to then look at how life and the cycles of life and the rhythms of life played themselves upon us. Now, it's not played upon us. Well, it does, but it's more how we could integrate with that. And the point of that was that we oftentimes isolate ourselves and see ourselves as separate from life because of the specific moments of living and the issues that we deal with. To begin to realize and to see the consistent repetition that occurs in the flow, even though it changes all the time, is to begin to realize that there is a certain process that goes on in the design of life that we're a part of. That there are certain elements that even though they are changing, they can still be relied upon to be touchstones for us, to support us through our moments of living. And that's what we began to see. And armed with the new information and a real line of separation from our past programming, we started to look at our ability to actually start to create the self we desire. And in some ways it's presumptuous, but in a sense we were being asked to be our own personal God, our own personal designer. And that's what this course is really doing, is inviting you to really create that which you believe you are and that which you have desired to become. The gift of what we're doing here is that we see how much the process of paying attention applies to anything that we do. That in the process of self-creation, we get this sense of what we, yeah, I want to do, be that. I want this in form. I want this in place. And the next thing we realize, oh, that's not what I thought it was going to be, so let me make an adjustment on that. And there's no love lost in that. There's nothing except the fact that we can make an adjustment and fine-tune and hone that which we are becoming. We call upon these elements of ourselves. And so we set an intention in terms of creating a new self in new forms, and really we had in many ways no idea what that was going to be. And so the next thing was to go ahead and clarify that intention by digging into the past. And by digging, it just really means that we're just going in there with a bulldozer and clearing debris out. We're not doing the archaeological dig where we're fine-tuning and sifting through things to find elements of it. We're actually going in and doing these blanket clearings because that's what the times are about. It's no longer nitpicking. It's no longer digging into the individual elements as much as it is about just making these blanket clearings. And that's about clearing the energetic path. That's what we've been doing. We went from there into the idea that just like the desire we had to create a new self, if you will, we realized that the new structure and the framework was multidimensional. It was beyond what we even thought the place is that we lived in. And that in itself then opens up a whole new panorama of possibility, which then is very stimulating and is filled with infinite potential. And from that went to creating and maintaining relationship with inner child. Because we found out at that point, once we created the playground, that we had in a sense to teach the child how to play again. And we had to realize that the child went ahead and bought into a whole bunch of old stuff that no longer served him or her. And the minute we touched the world of the child, we had to go to emotion next. So we learned to flow with emotion because that is the language in the playground of the child. And it's also what this dimension is about. It's the dimension where emotion is. And so to become aware and to become literate and to become flowing with emotion is essential, and that's something that we did. And from there, then we could begin to step out into the bigger picture. In the next block, we looked at the application of cosmic law to see what it was that was guiding the forms of how things showed up, were showing up in life, in general and specifically for each of us. And once we became aware that there are certain laws that, in a sense, were guiding all of this process that we're on, it created a sense of comfort. It created a sense of knowing and a kind of a repetition of knowing how certain things work. And knowing that allowed me then to work within the parameters of the design to begin to step out of the old forms of what I thought I was. And then we looked at ascension. the idea of ascending beyond, but it wasn't the traditional one of getting off the planet. It was ascending in both directions, upward, outward, inward, and down. We were becoming more into the body as well as outside of the body and expanding to the resources that had been available to us. And so ascension was a multi, like a spherical process that expanded us. And we're still looking at all of this is about ascension. And from there, very specifically, we went into this sense of breath and voice and word. What are some of the tools that I can use from my design to support my intentions here? And then we went to, this one was an adjustment. This one came up, I am soul. And then we went into basically that understanding of the of this element of us that has transcended time and space called soul, this sort of fingerprint of who we have been through lifetime after lifetime and will continue to be so. We began to give access to that, at which point that we touched out. See, once we created a foundation and an awareness, a greater picture of who we are, we then could step out into the cosmos and start to see what was really going on and how we were supported. And so we went to 12-ray integration. We started to see about these rays and about these colors and about the design that was really this beautiful system of support that was given to each of us by the fact that we incarnated here. And then we dabbled into, you know, I think we tried oneness a couple times, and I threw that one out again. And then we went into the DNA and the expanding DNA. So the 12 rays and then the expansion of the 12 elements of the DNA began to explain the multidimensionality of us and how we have such support and such capacity to alter the forms of our moments. And once the DNA was in place, we started to look at the Akash, which is like the framework where all this stuff interacts. And we began to see how we are so tied into successive lives and experiences that are all about being available in this moment to reveal to us this incredible power and capacity to be a very different being than we thought we were, but still maintaining this essence of who we believe and know ourselves to be, but it is oh so much more. And in the times to come, as we bring tonight's call to a close, we look at, first thing we're going to do is to look at our relationship with Gaia, because how can we have relationship with this very, very beautiful planet unless we are in a place where we actually have relationship with self? So that'll be another foundational element. And because we get that relationship with Gaia, then we can go ahead and start to look at our energetic self, which is about the chakra reunification. In other words, let's get all of these chakras working and moving together and in alignment with Gaia. And from there, we can go ahead and begin to become more versed at attending our own energy garden, as I love to put it. Regulating our energy, watching it, monitoring it, doing things to make sure it works for us, calling in elements to clear and to cleanse and then to augment it. And from there, we're going to move into the belief systems that we carry. And it isn't so much about clearing out the past, it's putting in these new paradigms. And I know that by the fourth session of the new block, there will be some new information coming down the road that is going to reveal itself to us. So we'll be able to entertain some of these. Then we'll go back to an old process called prayer, and we'll see what it really does and how it is a very conscious connection that's not about pleading and yearning and wishing and hoping. It's really about a process of making a deep and profound connection. It is very conscious. And from there, we start playing with sound a little more, and we take a brief journey back into accessing how music, sound, voice, etc. can support us and keep us in the frequency of what we've already created up till this point. And then finally, that block ends with living as love from an activated heart, it's called. We will work very, very consciously from the shamanic tradition to go ahead and access that heart and then do the unifications on the inside of how all these things are tied together to give us the heart that is wide and open and capable of being very, very potent and clear. And then finally, in block four, we begin to access the inner and the outer guidance. and have the capacity of knowing what that is. We look at the bigger picture of who we are as a divine design. We look at what it means to be in balance and how to maintain that. And then we go outside again to connect with ascended masters, angelic energies, et cetera, get clear on what those and what's available to us, all the while tending our own inner guarding and our own guides, inner guides that are there, and making sure we have communication open. And then finally, we learn what it's like to really just live in the moment, period, and how absolutely freeing that can be, followed by some personal strategies of how you're going to apply all this to consciously living in your frequency. And at that point, hopefully, we'll be ready to access this idea of oneness. And we might all just sort of head out on a 58 Buick across the plains, and then we'll be in our oneness state, or something like that. So, you know, what a great journey. And I'm delighted that most of you have decided to continue to be a part of this process. And it's fabulous. There are a handful of people who are in the process of deciding whether they want to continue or not. If you are one of them, I just want to say that it's been so beautiful and such a treat and so delightful to have you join the process so far, because your energy and your being has contributed mightily to the information that's become available to me and how I presented it. So this mutual dance that we all do is a sweet thing. And I know that, you know, there are way more things happening than I and we even realize collectively about what this is all about. But I do know that what we're doing is creating a very potent vibration, first within ourselves, and then secondly, wherever we go, we're carrying this new frequency that is most assuredly impacting multiple levels. So we'll pick up next week when we start to look at Gaia. Now, I had intended tonight to have some additional souls here, and for whatever reason, no one came forth. And I'm still intending to have that. We're starting a whole new section and a whole new block. And I really would ask you for assistance in beginning to create a larger footprint. And if there's anyone you know that would resonate in this, invite them in. Invite them in. There are two ways to do it. One, they can just take one little lesson. I'd be even happy if you get somebody to come in, they can have the first one for nothing. And then they can just go one at a time to see if they like it. And immediately, or you can you know, gift them the whole first block. You can do that, and then they can have the same sort of discounts, et cetera, et cetera. It's all about us beginning to create a collective vibration here. We are tied together, and we are unified at this point in time for a reason that may be obvious, but it's also a reason that is going to unfold even more so. And for as long as we're together, let's work this energy, and let's be consistent to it and remember who we are. So, I'm very, very grateful for all of that. Thanks for being a part of this tonight. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to address those. Otherwise, give me a day or so, and I'll send you the link. And tonight had a flavor of its own. It kind of went in a direction I was intending, and it kind of didn't. But I appreciate the flexibility that we had, and it was really a beautiful opportunity for us to remember the journey we've been on and, in a sense, the direction that we're headed. So, that's that. Bueller?
Mark, I do have one question.
Yeah.
Okay. All of the teachings that we're all listening to, aside from yours, as well as Hay House and the different authors, they're all saying we need to know who we are. Why is that necessary? What does that mean? I mean, why do we have to know who we are just to understand the different dimensions or the different thought processes that are coming through to us? And then how do you know who you are? Who are you? Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, that makes me want to take out my Who record. You know, who are you?
I'm serious. It's just like
I know you are.
Going on and on, and I'm thinking, and why are you here? And on, and it just seems like before it was so simple to know who you are, why you're here. You get married, you have children, you have the family going, you have things like that, and
you can still do that.
I know.
I mean, there's no, becoming aware of the greater self doesn't restrict what you have to do or what you're here to do. There are some very, very clear people that really know what's going on that are living very mundane, from the outside appearance, lives.
Uh-huh.
There's no requirement with this. Basically, my response would be this.
Okay.
There's an essence of who we are that has not been addressed, and that's what's showing itself in these times. To me, it's a combination of astrological times, the cycles that are going on, the collective of big picture, whatever that might be. But it's just happening that there's a birthing happening at this time, which is a greater awareness. And what that is revealing to each of us is the understanding that we are so much more than we have allowed, that we are so interconnected, and that's what's beginning to show itself, that the experience we've had here, as beautiful as it's been, as difficult as it's been, is capable of so much more. And I just think the whole idea of knowing who we are is really about just finally knowing who you are, as opposed to being what people, you know, others may have thought you were, or what you bought into, the idea that you were a limited being, the idea that certain things are a certain way. What it does...
Yes,
is
I understand that. I think that basically for me taking this course study, I am more open to other people, and I'm not as judgmental maybe, and try to feel more love towards everyone now. And I'm very contented within myself. So,
yay.
And it is opening up more for me, definitely spiritually.
Yeah.
I'll say that. I'm not as able to express it as you, because I just seem to function more on a feeling level than verbal, maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just I think it's I think that you answer that. So I understand what you're talking about.
Okay.
But anyway, so much for my comments, but thank you so much. And wish you a happy birthday for next week, too.
Well, we're actually going to be on the call together.
Oh, we are? Well, we can all sing to you then.
I guess so. Who knows what it'll bring, but it's Tuesday night.
If that's the case, then your essence will be more powerful. So it should be pretty good.
Hey, I'll be 63.
That's okay. You're just a kid.
When I'm 63. Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
It's just a number.
I totally
just turn it around. You're 36. It's 36. Just a number, you know.
16, 3, 6, to 9 year. Good completion year.
That's it.
Yeah.
That is true. I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Amen.
It's good for all those numerical things are so accurate. It goes back to Pythagoras and the great thinkers. The mathematics is astounding. I've been studying some numerology, and it is astounding. You know, you're right. We are opening up more, and we have the capability of so much knowledge with the computer, just to access anything that you want to know. It's amazing. You're right. We are all changing. But anyway, thank you so much. I won't keep you, because I know it takes a
you
lot
are
of
so
time.
Welcome.
You're probably tired. So
enjoy the week.
Thank you so much.
Right.
I'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, Mark.
Any comments, questions?
Hi, Mark.
Yes.
Can you give me a call? I've got a couple things I'd like to talk to you about, but I'd like to do it outside of Thursday's session so we don't use that time.
Got it. And when would you like? You want me to call you right after the call?
If you got time, that'd be great.
Okay.
All right,
will do.
Thanks.
All right. Anyone else? All right. Well, we're going to close this session up, and we'll be back next week talking about the relationship with Gaia. Woohoo! Here we go.